Hello, Fife fans. Just wanted to have a quick interjection before the start of this episode to say sorry for the delay in getting this episode out to you. I know it's been about 3 weeks since the last episode. Life's just been a bit mental recently, and I haven't had a chance to edit it. But here it is. It's an absolutely brilliant episode. Again, our 100th, and I'm pretty sure you'll enjoy. And yeah, listen in and stick around, because next week we're coming from Dunfermline Comic Con. It's recorded, it's in the bag, and I'm on holiday just now, so I'll definitely get it out to you guys. And please keep indulging us. Fife fans, welcome back to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club, where a couple of friends talk about anything and everything that take their interest, putting their world to rights. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Talk about Fife Club!
Yay, we've done that.
Done it twice at all.
No, not at all. Nothing went wrong.
You're
nothing
still a cub, James.
That'll do. So, episode 100, folks.
Hey, I'm still as enthusiastic as I was.
Wow, okay, that's gone a bit more mental than I thought it was. Yeah. So episode 100, we are here. It's a full house. We've got everybody, I think.
I'm not making a card joke again. Shit.
Yeah, no.
I didn't get it.
Yeah. Good choice.
Yeah. So we've not had a little technical hitch as I just started there. That did not happen. Anyway, as I say, episode 100, would you have ever have thought that we would have got this far? Jamie, when we sat round the table and did 50 minutes of...
Nonsense. It doesn't deserve... Even on its current form, let's be honest, it doesn't deserve 100 episodes.
It must be amazing you made it to episode 2, let alone 100.
Oh, God. Yeah, look at the fucking mess this has been to try and set this up tonight. Anyway, as I say, we're here. I'm going to just jump into some quick introductions. Again, catchphrase, not written anything this week. But on the mics with my good self Kutch tonight is... Across from me, Dave.
Hello.
Hello.
All right.
You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Okay. And Jamie.
Hello.
Hello. And back as a magnificent return. He's been off for a while. It's Mark.
Hello. Hello, Fife fans. Fuck you, Kirkcaldy.
Hey.
Yeah, sorry. Guys, had to bring it back. Yeah, it's like slight elephant in the room. Obviously, I've not been here for a couple of weeks. And in that time, you guys have managed to get onto a radio station, be listed in a top podcast to listen to. What the fuck am I doing? Like, you're so much better without me.
But
the awkward bit as well, and we should probably talk about it, is how we all fell out and... You know, I left to do my solo project. Didn't work.
Yeah, and then you came crawling fucking back, didn't you?
After the drug phase.
You're our very own Kerry Katona.
I was going to go for Jerry Halliwell. It's like,
Anyway, next to him, it's our enthusiastic man-child. It's James.
Hi, campers.
He does have both the psyche and the face of a child.
Yeah.
And the rest of him's like a man. Well, I assume.
I don't know. Or a Kendall.
You could say you hope. But. And across from him is our very own Mags.
Talking vagina.
It's better than being a talking fanny, James. That's enough. That's not it.
100th episode, 100 James insults.
Sorry, I've actually just stretched out like I was at the cinema with Jamie. Just like the arms gone over. Oh. It's like, oh, hello.
You're strong. Like, what's in your popcorn?
Roofies. Loads of them.
You know when you sort of like stop take images, it's like someone starts smiling and gradually getting really more depressed.
Yeah.
That's going to be me through the contents of this episode, isn't it? It's just gonna be fucking...
You're smiling like Harold, the stock image guy.
I love Hide the Pain, Harold.
By the end of this, I'll be writing my obituary. I'll be like miserable.
Oh, man. So, that's us all here, and we're doing episode 100, and we've got a handful Not even a handful, actually. It's been a bit,
I don't know. I would say you're like a B cup at least. Yeah, quick.
Badoonch. What I was going to say, we've got a handful of folk who are going to come and chat to us. So I think maybe we'll just get somebody in straight away, will we?
Yeah.
Right, let's have a wee look at the switchboard here.
I was just going to quickly ask people what their 100 episodes is a big milestone. What was your favourite episode that we've done so far?
That's a good show, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've got a few favourites. I think the Beer Fest one was pretty good. Like, that was fun, just because we were so wrecked at the end of it and the amount of stuff. But then I think we've had some really good, like, Desert Island Dicks and some good...
I don't remember them so much as what the content was, but the jokes.
Yeah, the jokes. Yeah.
And Jamie's one about the minibus full of dead children.
That was the Stevens episode. Actually, the Stevens episode was still amazing.
It's still my favourite joke.
It was so good. Also, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis versus good. Christian
Poor
Bale.
Diesel in my arse.
Yeah. No, that was...
Gordon the Gopher.
Gordon the Gopher made the duck, yep. Classic.
Yeah.
Spanish episode as well. Yeah. That was pretty fun.
The first Christmas bonanza we done that Dave walked in steaming.
Oh yeah, that was a good episode.
I liked your first fight, Dave, with the Mexican god.
The Mexican sun god.
Fernando Cortez versus Huitzilla Popley.
Yeah.
Remember when we used to prepare for this podcast? Yeah.
Dave used to come with pages of notes.
It's because I've got no banner.
So. We've ruined the prep from you now, hey?
Nice to look back.
It is
on our archive. Do you think one day in the future, like students will study Fife Club as like
no
as like a
what doc- not to
wait,
do?
Well, wait. No, I was thinking more as like a documentary of the end of the UK civilization.
I was going to say
social students.
What if we're the only remaining record of like the end of civilization on these islands?
See, I was going to say,
oh my God, we've
synced up.
Oh my God, we're so in sync, country.
You should both say we can feel your aura at the same time. Yeah. I don't know if it's the same thing.
I'm addressing you with my eyes.
I was going to say that is it sort of like a Bill and Ted scenario where this becomes the basis of like civilization and society in the future? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hashtag Bill and Ted, new Bill and Ted movie coming out. Yeah. So
Wild
Stallions.
When they're rebuilding civilization, they take the Desert Island Dicks as their guide for
like
survival.
Survival.
Yeah. Like, have to go out there and find all the items on the island.
Praise be to the honey badger.
What if they take us as like
confused looking for Harold?
What if they take us as gospel like moral lessons? That would be awful.
Yeah, that would be good.
I was going to say instead of it being like that, I think this will be like one of those documentaries on the Yesterday Channel about how what made James a serial killer. I'd get mine in.
On the outside I'm smiling, on the inside I'm skinning you all alive.
And so it begins.
Right, I've got the switchboard here and we've got a caller.
Should I do a phone now?
We've got a caller who I now can't unmute.
And now
dear.
So now we need silent producer through the back scene online.
Wait, why can't I unmute? Suze, are you there?
Come on, Roz. I'm listening.
Oh, damn it. I was just about to say that when Suze came online. Oh, I'm listening. Yeah. Oh, so good.
Oh, my God. Why can't I unmute?
That's the camera that you're taking.
No, it's not. It's
so instead of listening to Suze, you're trying to basically creep shot her.
That bit isn't getting edited out.
Hello? Right.
Oh, hello. Oh. Are you there?
Hey. I press something and it seems to work. Yay.
So we've got Suze online with us. How are you, Suze?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah. You guys sound cheerful.
We're
beerful.
Beerful. No, cheerful. We're trying to be.
We're
trying to be.
We're through the pain.
So, you've been listening to us for a wee while now. You've been finding that it's been
comforting. I'm surviving though. Is this like a support group where people listen, come along to talk about their feelings now?
If you want, yeah.
I think listeners of Fife Club need a support group just for listening to Fife Club as well.
Just so, need James to
I know.
Listen
no,
to
no pressure, but who's your favourite Fife Clubber?
Gonna have to be Jamie.
Oh, fuck yes! Yes! High five, Suze. Yeah.
His
high
voice
five.
Is like a warm hug.
Oh.
Yeah. That's miss true. You.
You can join the people of Ghana in their appreciation of Jamie.
Fucking love me in Ghana.
Still big in Accra. Yeah.
Still building a wicker man.
What's really weird is I usually listen to this while I'm like in the shower or cooking my tea. So now if I listen to it again, am I going to listen to myself in the shower?
Yeah, you will.
And that's kind of like it's like being your own voice in your head. Kind of creepy.
That's
if you start singing there, you might be able to hit a harmony with yourself.
Oh, that's true.
It's amazing.
So, Suze, yeah, have you got anything for us? Have you got a fight or anything to bring to the table?
What are you making for tea, Suze? You've got your dinner cooking.
Well, no, it's not cooking because we went, like, this is going to be a really boring story. You guys don't want to know about my tea. We went out for lunch and I'm like, I don't really want tea, but I have to make it because it's there. We're going to have sausages and mash. It's not very exciting. And that was a really shit story.
Sausages and mash is fucking bad.
Yeah. I think it's now going to turn to a sausage and egg bagel because I'm not actually that hungry.
What about Graham?
Yeah, I'm not going to cook him.
Not that hungry.
I'm not that big enough.
This is a whole lot of weird different serial killer motives. Sue's the barbecue queen of Aberdeen.
It's too windy to barbecue by the sea tonight. I mean, I definitely have to go with oven roasting.
That means you have to chop him up first.
If you broke his back, right, and like, you know, made him a half and then tied it together, you could definitely fit him in an oven. Definitely. Like, and his legs as well.
Have you tried to make him up like a filet mignon here?
Just thinking about it.
I was thinking I'd find like a good cut. Like you'd have to like go for like bacon parts and the fillet steak part and then just have them over it because you wouldn't want to waste it. It'd have to be freeze some bits, keep them for a few weeks.
Suze, you've really thought about this. I'm worrying about it. Yeah.
You come visit me.
Yeah. You're all right.
Is your house made out of gingerbread?
I don't know. Sometimes it feels like it when it's windy. And it could be what Riffer did last time because it's still leaking, but yeah.
So how is it being a fifer up in Furry Boots land?
Their accents. People like don't have worse accents than say if you went to Blingrey. So I think if you can understand basic Fife, you can understand really broad Aberdeenshire as well. They just use strange words like fine piece. Have you heard of a fine piece?
Yeah,
it depends.
Like a good sandwich.
No, that was what I thought.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, someone was like, "Oh, do you want to pay into the Fine Peace Fund?" And I thought, I bring pretty good sandwiches. I'm not sure. What is it? I mean, they've got really good meat on them. I source it locally from the partner. But no, it's tasty like tasty cake. So you want to be in the Fine Peace Fund if that ever happens to you. Yeah.
Do you have butteries?
I have not yet had a buttery, but I have previously in my life had a buttery.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what's a buttery and what's a rowie.
A buttery.
I think they're the same thing.
I don't know the difference.
It's a rowie, not more like a roll, where a buttery is like just that flat bit of salty fucking yum.
Fat stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The best thing you could ever put in your mouth.
Hungover is amazing.
Yeah. Nothing.
I'm going to be controversial here. I don't like a buttery.
Oh,
I know, sorry. I'm not a buttery fan. They're just too much.
Disappointing.
Just to step back. According to Wikipedia, a rowie and a buttery are the same thing.
Are they the same thing?
Yeah. A buttery, also known as a roll, a rowie, rolly, or Aberdeen roll, is a Scottish savoury bread roll.
Is this one of these Bam Cob Barn roll things?
Apparently so, but you can only get them in Aberdeen. So.
Wikipedia really is the seventh host of this podcast.
We should give it a credit, really,
So, if you're super keen, I can bring you some down next time.
Fresh butteries from Aberdeen are always just banging. Well, there used to be a newsagent around the corner from the halls that I stayed in when I was up there, that did them, that the bakers brought them in like at midnight, and we would go along like fucking first thing there. Oh, they were just beautiful and warm and tasty.
Them were the days.
I don't see you walking to work anymore, obviously, Suze,
I said that to Kirsty. She said that to you.
Yeah.
Last time she was up, she was talking generally about people we know, and I said, you know, we always saw each other and we were always both running late. So yeah. We were like, hi. You were sweating going up the hill, I was sweating going down the hill.
Do you now ride the back of a giant seagull into work? Because they're big up there.
That's I know, good. I've got my own deer. I just ride my own deer to work, you know. I ride a bike to work. I'm crazy. It's like through all weathers, I have ridden my bike to work. It's, yeah. Yeah. Because we're quite like down a track, rural-ish.
Suze, from someone who used to complain about having to walk up the New Row, I'm impressed.
I freaking hate riding a bike to work. It's cold. It's wet. And when I get to work, I'm wearing 4 layers of waterproofs just to stay dry. But it'll be nice in the summer, I'm told.
Well, maybe.
Isn't 4 layers of waterproofs like the equivalent of sexy lingerie in Aberdeen?
I wondered why people kept winking at me as I told them.
That's a bonny queen. She's only wearing the 4 layers. Fit like queen.
And wipe clean, so you know.
Oh, that was good. Suze.
Yes.
I was going to ask you a question, but I couldn't think of one. So.
what was Suze's favourite podcast episode out of all 100?
What's your favourite episode since you've been listening?
Oh, that's a difficult question because it means I have to remember which one.
Because you don't like any of them.
I like the one where you're talking about how rubbish Kirkcaldy had become. Purely because I was amazed that you guys seem to have this big, like, sentimental thing about a part of Kirkcaldy I'd never even heard of, the shopping centre that I'd never even heard of.
America?
No, it was the postings.
Yeah, and you guys were being all sort of sentimental about this. And I thought, I've never even heard of this.
That's the one that sold for £1. And it's kind of off the high street. So it's like, it's at the bus station. If you get the bus into Kirkcaldy, then you come in basically at the postings.
Have you ever been in Kirkcaldy, Suze?
That's for the best if she's not. You know?
You just have your eyes closed the whole time. Not this place.
To be fair, I only go there now to go and do boring stuff like go to Dunnell Mill or go to Rejects.
Going to Rejects is not boring.
maybe Kutch has probably been made to go around Rejects before, and he's maybe not as excited as I would be about going around Rejects.
I love a trip to Rejects.
Yeah, me too. Rejects is great.
Like, there's literally something for everyone in Rejects. Like, there's something for young children. There's there if you like sewing and haberdashery. If you're more into your DIY, that's there. And if nothing else, there's cake in the cafe if you can get
exactly.
A seat.
There's frames, cheap frames for my art collection.
And
the cafe caused a bit of an argument here because I said to Graham, my partner, but the cafe's really good. And he said, what? There was a cafe and we didn't go. to the cafe. So I was in trouble because the cafe is good.
There you go. See, it's literally, you can't, I swear to God, if you go to Rejects and you can't find something good that you like in Rejects, then you're dead inside.
Yeah. I think it is.
I'm so sad that Dunfermline got rid of the Rejects, even now.
I know, because like Seven Kings is all right, but you know.
What's even above the Seven Kings? What is there?
It was turned into offices for a while, they've just struggled to keep any people in there because clearly it's obviously.
The rates are too high.
The rates are too high. Also, it's above the Seven Kings, so it's going to be really loud and just stinking of stale beer.
The beer,
So, I think they struggled to keep people in the offices.
True loss.
They had, in Rejects, they have this like. Rocking chair thing that's kind of got silver frame and it's like it looks amazing.
And in Kirkcaldy.
Nearly bought that. I've got other great stories.
We've missed you, Ben.
Bringing the golden content like that.
Oh, mercy.
I like that episode. It was good. It probably saw me through a shower and cooking some dinner.
That's excellent. It's a nice insight to see how people listen to us. It's not something we always get to.
Yeah, when I'm not on, I do it when I'm doing the dishes.
When you're doing the dishes?
Yeah, doing the dishes. Try not to drop my iPad in the sink.
See when you're like listening to a podcast in the shower, is it like singing in the, like when you listen to a song in the shower, do you sing along to it? Like with a podcast on, do you make like informative points along with the discussion? Like pause. Yeah, I agree with that.
If I'm listening to an episode I'm not on, I talk out loud and like add to the conversation, and I get really annoyed when people don't talk back at me.
We've also all heard each other's jokes a million times, so we all know what's coming.
It's just really weird because I always think, oh my god, I'm sober for this, because usually when we all hang out there would be some form of drinking involved, like a pub or, but yeah, most of the time I'm sober, I'm thinking, oh my god, we really do talk a load of rubbish.
But I love it. Content. We talk a lot of quality that is, content.
Thanks for, that's our new tagline.
We talk a lot of rubbish.
Yeah.
That's good. I like it. Not funny, not interesting.
Available on t-shirts.
Which I'm currently wearing just now.
Yeah, James is.
Do you actually have t-shirts?
And hats. T-shirts, hats, teddy bears, aprons.
Cut your kid is going to be teddy bear, teddy baby apron.
Baby grow. Baby grow. Yeah. Do they get life-size ones for you and your kinky sex kids?
So how'd you go about getting a t-shirt?
You go to fifeclub.co.uk and go to our shop.
I think Jamie's got a list of things.
Jamie.
By accident.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And if you want to talk to us at all, like Susan's now, then please go to facebook.com/fifeclubpod or at fifeclub, Twitter at fifeclub, Instagram fifeclub, email Ken at fifeclub.co.uk. Website is www.fifeclub.co.uk where you can donate or buy our shit or just fucking Google it.
Yeah. And listen to all our shit if you've never listened before. If this is your first time, we've got 100 episodes. Good luck to you.
Apparently we're getting like a lot more listeners on Radio Haver than our downloads. What is wrong with these people?
I think people have just put the radio station on and just not turned it off.
Just walked away.
It's Drew's got one of these like farms where people like listen to things. Oh
yeah, hello.
I'm back.
Oh, right.
I went.
That's okay.
I think a content farm.
A click farm.
I don't know if he does.
In Ghana.
In Ghana. That's where they're all coming from.
Yeah. Every one of the phones has your face as the background.
Right. Okay. Well, Suze, have you got anything else for us, or can we say goodbye?
You could say goodbye. I mean, unless you want to join me for some sausages, which I can't get 100% guarantee aren't made of people, obviously, now. But that's Sainsbury's.
Yeah, disturbing. But fair enough. Well, what we'll do is we'll let you go get your dinner, and we will bring in somebody else. So thank you very much
for having me on, guys.
No problem. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for chatting.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye, Suze.
Bye.
I'm not being funny, guys, but somebody needs to phone the police now.
Thank God she's gone. I'm scared of her. Yeah. Holy shit.
She's gone north and she's gone postal.
We're not just a podcast putting the world to rights. We're also a confession booth.
Like, you could get phone Jimmy Perez and get him down there.
Get him
on the ferry to Aberdeen.
It's not going to go to Aberdeen.
Get the ferry.
Then you have to drive immediately out of there. Nope. Yeah. Nobody from Shetland spent any time in Aberdeen.
No, that's true.
Oh. Yeah. Right, well, I'll have a wee look at the switchboard and see who else is potentially. Yeah.
I hope Ross is still there.
Is this for an hour?
Hello.
Hey! So on the switchboard, I've got Ross. Hi, Ross. Right, so yeah, Ross, you've been listening to us for some time as well. What's your favourite episode?
What's your excuse?
Severe depression.
No.
I'm a old school. One of my favourite episodes was the one where you had the argument about what was better, a double decker or a boost.
Classic.
That's like episode 3 or something like that.
Episode still goes on.
Four or five.
four. Yeah,
it was the first Beaker episode.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, yeah, proper Beaker's old. Dead.
Yeah, Beaker died.
We just like to point out Beaker was invited to the reunion this evening, and he turned us down. Like,
he got caught in his wicker man and set on fire himself.
It's because he's actually dead. Yeah,
Sue's get a hold of it.
Sue's just going to cook him up.
That's what she's eating now.
Yeah.
No, in fairness, it might have been because I left this all to the last minute.
Could that possibly be the reason, guys?
Yeah.
Should have probably said for listeners that both Susan Ross are like old friends of all of us.
Yeah. I think it might have cottoned on to that. But
yeah.
But Ross, so as I say, you've known us for a while. You've been listening in. Have you got anything to bring to the table tonight? A fight, something to bring to the island? Any content us to talk about?
Something that might save Ross. This.
I have something to bring to the island.
Mm-hmm.
So can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're waiting in anticipation.
So I live in London, for anyone who doesn't know, and I have a real issue with something that always happens when I'm on public transport, and that's people eating really loudly.
Oh, yes. I'm with you. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And it happens because I live in East London, and there are lots of things, lots of chicken shops in East London.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you'll be sitting on the top deck of the bus, and somebody will come on with a bucket of fried chicken, and we'll start eating it as loudly as humanly possible.
Classic bus snack.
I know. Quick, get the fried chicken for the bus, guys. Yeah.
I was trying to think of things to talk about today, and I was racking my brain trying to think of something, and then this guy came on with a massive carrier bag filled to the brim with chicken, and he just
wait. Was there any other protective thing in the carrier bag, or was it just a carrier bag and this chicken was touching the edge of a carrier bag, like filled to the brim?
It was a carrier bag full of boxes, styrofoam boxes, okay, full of chicken.
Oh, that's right. Not as horrific as I thought it was.
It's not like you just walked into KFC with a bag for life and said, "Fill it."
Sauce and oil just swilling about the bottom.
It's not as bad, but it's still terrible for the environment.
Did you recognize which brand it was? Was it a Morley's, a Chicken Cottage?
Oh, Chicken Cottage.
I used to live in Tooting behind Europe's largest branch of Chicken Cottage. Oh yeah, guys.
Do you remember the Chicken Cottage song? Did you ever see that? It was like an internet meme.
No,
pretty sure it was from London as well. It's fucking hilarious.
You need to sing it to us now.
I can't remember it. Oh. I just remember it being amazing. He's just got on about how great Chicken Cottage is. It's like a rap song. So good.
I'm gonna Google that when I get off.
So what are you taking to the island then?
So it's people eating loudly on the bus.
Oh, so this is like a Room 101. Edition of the island. I like it.
Yeah, but just all those humans who think it's absolutely fine to eat really loudly or just make weird mouth noises on the bus. I can't stand it.
How to implement this very well. You may recall an episode we did a while ago, and I decided we should run a Honey Badger Pamplona. Get those very people on that fucking Pamplona. Get them running.
Yeah, you can't run and eat chicken at the same time. Oh, no, you can't. Although you could possibly throw the chicken at the honey badger. But he would be a more of a Morley's man, so if you had the chicken cottage.
I think the honey badger would be disgusted at people doing that.
I'd like to think at this stage, through all the podcasts and all the Desert Island Dicks we've done, that honey badger has a taste for human blood and flesh now.
Definitely.
And that chicken will not satisfy
that. Suze will be supplying him with sausages.
but the people who eat chicken every single day of their lives, will I think they will satiate the honey badger.
Tastes like chicken.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Here, Musk would not approve.
There is a weird thing about... Sorry, Ross, I was interrupting you.
To answer your question, Dixie Chicken was the brand of chicken.
Oh, yeah, go familiar with the Dixie Chicken.
As in jazz, right? Like D-I-X-I-E.
Yeah.
Tastes like dick.
Dixie and not Dixie.
Yeah, yeah.
So he basically was eating a bag of dicks.
Yes. Come on.
That was good.
I'm back, guys. Contractually just for this episode and their 20-year reunion. That's fine.
Oh, that'll be in Vegas.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I mean, if anyone's actually cooking chicken on the island as well, it's going to be Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, that's true.
We brought him on and we figured he's going to be a damn fine chef.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what wine goes well with fried chicken, but I don't know, Hannibal Lecter will tell us. But if they're eating chicken loudly, that's going to be enough to make Freddy Krueger lose his shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, how does he breadcrumb eat? Like, how does he get the batter under his knife hands?
He's already going to be frustrated.
Yeah. Unless he stabs the bit of chicken,
and then uses that
as a kind of... Yeah.
He uses them as like kebab skewers.
Yes.
He's a one-man barbecue.
I was more just thinking, I'm going to have to move from heroin to flour and wheat on my plantation.
Yeah, to keep it going.
Yeah, yeah.
It's either that or he's just...
Especially since that... there's about 2.5 million people in east of London and they all seem to want to eat chicken on the bus. So not the island.
That's for hard hitting stories, Ross, but EastEnders is missing out on. That's why they're spending too much on their set.
Yeah.
So they can't cover these important East London true stories.
But now you've got a workforce, Jamie. Like, you've been living off animals in your plantation. Now you have shitloads of people who eat too loud. You could just dangle chicken in their face. And just make them work for you.
Well, like the fishing rod in front
of them. Yeah, and just make them do the work for you. So now you've got animals and people working for you. You've got an empire.
I could do is I could take all the chickens that are working for me, or most of them, and leave a breeding population, obviously, and slaughter like a good chunk of them just as a display of power to the rest. Be like, right, and force them to eat their mates.
I mean, they kind of do, don't they? Do they not go a bit carnivorous if you put them in captivity for too long?
If you chuck a mouse into a chicken, it'll fuck it up. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, it's something awful. Like, not that I've seen it or done it. Or do it.
People don't think chickens are bastards, but they are.
They're dinosaurs.
They're total cocks.
We had some...
We
had chickens in our garden growing up, and every now and again you'd get an accidental cockerel if you got like a new batch of young chickens in, because you don't know they're a cockerel until they get older.
Mm-hmm.
And on more than one occasion we had a fucking vicious cockerel that actually used to attack us. And I used, like, one of them, when, like, for about a year I wouldn't go in the garden because it used to only attack me. It didn't attack anybody else. And if like other people were there, it didn't attack me. It only attacked me when I was on my own. And so my dad thought I was making it up. And I'd be like coming home from school with like blood down the back. Well, I come home from school, I have to run the gauntlet of the garden to get to the house. The cockerel would attack me and I'd have blood running down my legs. And he just thought I was making it up. Like, I was like injuring myself on purpose. So I'm like...
All these images like of a young Max having to sit in a psychiatrist office and describe the cockerel that is torturing her. It's real. Yeah, I'm sure. Look, we all know it's real, Max. It's very, very real to you.
I'm tortured by the cock.
In my head, that story was like a Sergio Leone film with like screen close up cockerel's eyes.
I still don't know why.
Perfect mood music in there. Yeah.
Why it singled me out. Maybe because I was young and vulnerable and they wanted to exert his power over me. I don't know.
Is it weird?
Yeah, maybe he was wanting to kill a certain proportion of the human population, just like I was talking about the chickens. Makes sense.
Is it weird that the whole time you told that story, I was thinking of the cockerel from Chicken Run, like the old one who was in the RAF?
That's quite specific.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But there is a thing about like being on public transport and just like there's an etiquette about what you're allowed to eat, right? Mm-hmm. Unless it's an empty train carriage, and you're like a bit hungover or something like that, you're not allowed to eat Burger King. Because Burger King, like the first person opens a Whopper and suddenly that smell goes from one end of the train
right
to the other. Right.
I think if it's after 9 o'clock at night, anything's acceptable.
Yeah, I had to get me and Kutcher Burger King after the Whiskey French because we're both absolutely wasted.
Yeah.
And I was like, we need stuff in our stomach, especially Kutch, but me as well. So yeah, we need, and that was not... after 9 o'clock at night, but we were stinking out the whole carriage. Didn't give a fuck.
But it's 9:15 in the morning. It's unacceptable.
No, that's not
okay. Yeah. No, we were at 7 o'clock somewhere.
It's like fish in microwaves, like at work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, I fucking love fish, but I wouldn't do that because I know people hate
I've
it.
I've had someone that microwaved fish and kale together. It's the worst thing.
It sounds like a horrific and smells like a horrific toilet trip.
Fish and kale together, that's a fail.
I had my breakfast on the train in the mornings. Is that okay? And it's like,
but what do you have?
It's overnight oats. Like I make like a muesli thing.
Oh,
aye.
Yogurt, oats, berries. I'm with you.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Is that okay to eat on the train? And sometimes people give me a funny look, but it doesn't. As far as I'm aware, it doesn't smell.
That's gonna smell it.
I hope I don't make. I actually switched containers because I used to take it in a glass jar, and I was aware that a metal spoon on a glass jar might annoy people. So exactly, yeah. So I switched it to a plastic container, but I still get funny looks sometimes because I make my breakfast on the train.
Is it because you've got like a fully cooked meal or a fully made meal in front of them, like it's a fucking hotel? Like they're on the bus with like their breakfast bars that they grabbed when they had like 2 seconds to get out the door. There, you've been well prepared. They're probably just jealous.
I was going to say, it's not my fault if other people don't care about their health and well-being.
Yeah. Like, are you just reminding them of their own life failings?
Mags, you're getting sent to the island. Sorry.
Yeah. You all along.
Now, I was just going to say, Ross, you said you had a good story. From last week's podcast, you had a good story on swearing that you thought you could share with us.
Yes, I had an argument with my boss over the use of the word cunt.
A very familiar word on this podcast.
I was manager at my work, and I got pulled into the office and sat down. And they were like, Ross, we've had quite a serious complaint. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, right, what? And I was trying to rack my brain, trying to think what I've done or what I hadn't done. I said, so-and-so at work, they've said that I used a deplorable language with her. Did I? She said that you called her a cunt. And I was like, wait a minute. I'm not, yes, I did call her a cunt. I said, but she did something for me that I really needed done, and I didn't ask her to do it, and she did it off her own back. And I think I said, thanks, Victoria, you're a wonderful cunt. context is king, people.
So, there's almost no higher accolade,
that's like the best kind of good cunt.
Wonderful cunt.
Jesus. Yes, it was amazing. Like, I thought I was being really lovely, but she was not happy. And my other cunt based story is I work at school.
Wait a fucking second. Okay. Wait a minute.
Wind this back.
You might not want to broadcast
it. Children
are
wonderful cunts.
I've got a new job, and I work at a school for kids with learning difficulties, and I work with a little boy who I won't name, and he swears a lot. He's got a thing called ODD, which stands for opposite defiant disorder. Okay. So basically he does the absolute opposite of what you ask him to do, and at all times, and he loves to call me a cunt all the time. And he's this tiny, tiny little thing with big lugs, and he's cute as anything, and they'll just turn around and go, Ross, you're a cunt. And I was like, thanks, buddy.
That's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful.
Everyone's like, he says those words, and I went, well, I'm Scottish, that's all right. That's fine. That was a nice thing.
I was going to say, so that was a co-worker in your previous story that complained about
you.
Oh, man. Is she Southern English?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Different idea about what.
This is the thing we were chatting about last week. You know, like, that some people from other countries or other parts of the UK, whatever, just don't get that words like cunt can be said in an affectionate way. It's not always aggressive.
No. They can even say it down in England as well.
Like, yeah. Yeah, one of my ex-girlfriends would cover her ears every time she heard the word cunt. She'd just, like, immediately turn into the FA Cup.
Say cunt to an American, they totally shut down on you. You're like, oh, yeah, it's like you've just done the worst thing ever. It's like,
this is the end.
Yeah, swearing's good. I like it.
When you say cunt, like,
Nope.
Nope. Repeat that one, Ross.
No, I said Americans. Yeah, they the windshield.
You're kind of turning into an audio transformer.
Yeah. Breaking up a little bit.
They heard us talk shit about them.
Well, that's fair enough. I think maybe if you're breaking up, it's maybe the natural...
Maybe we're breaking up.
Yeah, maybe we're breaking up. It's maybe the natural of order of things here.
I mean, it's not us. It's not you, it's us.
And maybe...
It's not us.
But yeah, no, thank you very much for coming and talking to us, Ross. And for
no problem, guys.
Over the last 100 episodes, you have been a long-term listener. Why, I don't
know,
but
tell your work, but you have to say cunt because you've got mental problems because you listen to Five Club.
Done. Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, and we shall speak to you the next time you turn on the podcast.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Gosh, just the creepiest smile when he said that.
Quickly going back to the cunt thing, I've got a nice wee story. No, when we went to USC in Glasgow a couple of years ago, I wound up bagging the tickets for all of us, and for 2 months, you guys were super signed for me. Like, really nice, really cool. It's like, you good guy. The second, I'm talking the second we walked in that door, it's like, cheers, James, and walk through the door. You're a cunt.
Tickets were handed over, and it was like, you're a cunt.
It wasn't even that. It was like, tickets were handed over. That was fine. It's like, no, we need to get in first. Through the door. Cunt. Straight in there.
Good times. Right. I am going to bring in Tommy.
While we're doing that, I discovered something today, well, the other day, and we were talking about this earlier, is, you know, when you reach 100 years old, you know how folk get a letter from the Queen? Apparently you've got to apply for it. Like, you don't just send you it. It's like, this is like Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny for me. I was like, oh, this is gutting. Like, yeah, you've got,
I mean, the Queen is essentially made up and has a silly hat, so you can see that.
But like, when people get a letter from the Queen...
She should fuck all during the year.
She can at least put some fucking pen and paper for 10 minutes, you know? They're like, no, apparently you've got to send in an application or a written application. I think your family does it for you. Or you could do it yourself if you're a smug bastard. Right. Is send it down, who you are, what your address is, how old you are, when your birthday is, and then they send it out to you.
They'll probably try and deport you like Windrush if you send an application to the government. Yeah.
But then I don't even think...
Got its address.
I was going to ask, do you think they cross-check it? Do you think we could write to them and say, my uncle Fife Club has just reached 100? really appreciate a letter.
That was like in the American election when that guy tweeted Trump saying, my granddad has never voted before, but he's voting for you. It was a picture of Corbyn. and Trump retweeted it. It was fucking brilliant.
You know what you could do? You could make it seem like a Nordic name. It's like, I'm my uncle Fife Klub. It turns 100 today. Can you send a letter to me? Yeah.
That would be
beautiful. A Fife letter Klub. From me. Get it framed. Right. Going to bring it in.
Yeah, let's get it done.
Hello?
No. Hello. Hello. Tommy.
Hello.
You are on.
How's it going?
Not too bad. You are on with Fife Club. Feel honoured.
/ ashamed.
I've got you. We've had two other folk on, and they've given us some lovely, lovely content. And we are going to absolutely.
They were really good.
Just lie.
Yeah, you guys are really good.
That was convincing. Thanks. I like it.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're going to mine you for some content. It's your turn to shine. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
So have you got anything that you want to bring to the island? Have you got any fights for us? Well, anything like that?
We're asking everyone, first of all, their favourite episode.
Oh yeah, Max is keeping me on track here.
Thank you. I'm keeping on track with the content here.
Do you have a favourite episode, Tommy?
I have to say, the most recent episode had me in hysterics with the local news. I thought that was absolutely brilliant. So... I'm saying that one because it's the most recent one and it's the freshest in my mind. So I know that's a cop out, but
no,
there we have it.
We had quite.
That's because every episode's better than the last.
I
that's clearly a lie.
Pushing the boundaries, yeah.
The local news ones are the weeks when we've not prepared anything, and I've basically just done a news roundup for my work, so I just like regurgitate my work's content for the day.
But also, some of the stuff is brilliant.
Yeah, it's because the local papers are actually hilarious.
It was like the News Digest section is in the Dunfermline Press. Do we still do that? I don't think we did, but it used to be fucking amazing because it was just stories from the local sheriff court of bananas things that people get arrested for.
There's at least 2 pages of court reporter stuff in the Dunfermline Press. It's not a News Digest anymore. There's like 4 or 5 stories, and it's always somebody. It's always domestic abuse. Shouldn't laugh at, but really, the one where the guy was pissing on his balcony and having an argument with his girlfriend at the same time.
God, yeah.
That was an absolute classic. Like, so it's kind of a domestic abuse, but it's also very funny.
Wow, Max.
We've actually played a very new furrow into hilarious domestic abuse. Wow.
Crikey.
It's not funny.
Seen episode 4, we were laughing at domestic abuse. Man, we're hitting new hosts in this podcast.
I'm not laughing at domestic abuse. I'm laughing at the story.
It sounded like you were very pro.
Tommy, no, as a we listener.
We laughed along with you to make you feel better, Max.
Tommy, as a listener, how much of a terrible person is Max?
I mean, I have to say I laugh too. I can't point my fingers. But let it be said that domestic abuse is not okay and it's not funny, but, you know, the context of the podcast, it was hilarious.
Oh, dear. Right. So let's get away from that.
where are you calling us from tonight, Tommy?
I stay in Livingston, but I'm from Fife.
He's a Fife.
Which part of Fife are you from?
I'm from Newborough.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
That's the posh end.
Yeah. Nice fight.
You did. There is nothing posh about Newborough.
I knew a girl from Newborough. I can't remember her name. Wasn't like that.
What a great story, Jimmy.
Yeah. Quality, solid gold content. I'm delivering straight into your ears, listeners.
I know a lot about the railway line that goes through Newborough. And the 3 different locations where there used to be train stations, but there isn't anymore.
Wow.
So. Michael Portillo. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Tommy and the listeners, just so you know, Mags leaned in with such excitement as we talked about that for a second. That was...
I mean, it's a pretty impressive railway line, as far as railway lines go, you know. There's Newborough to look at as you pass by. I mean, it's quite a nice place to look at, but I mean... It's just a railway line. What's so special about it?
Because it's quite an extensive line of single track railway where there's not a station. There's no station between Ladybank and Perth, which is a very long section of the railway line without a station.
Yeah, that's
other places.
Aye.
That's
more solid gold content.
Just get me off trains, please.
So it's like us after a whiskey fest.
Yeah. What we said to Michael Portillo before we had the prizes called Dead Hands off the road. Get out, you pastel coloured fuckwit.
I saw his cold dead stare at Inverkeven Station. I'm telling you, that guy, he's like a shark.
Did you see
Michael Portillo? Yeah. I was on the train. I went past that. I actually said it like, is that Michael Portillo? And it was. He was on the other side of the platform.
Was he like filming stuff?
We couldn't see any cameras.
No, and he was wearing some lovely salmon trousers as well. So, yeah. Anyway, Tommy.
Actually, a few years ago, Newborough had quite an infamous train flasher.
Is that why you moved to Livingston?
Is this a personal story, Tommy?
He was sent to Livingston.
No comment. But yeah, there's a wee bridge. Newborough's all pretty much like a big hill. And so to get from one part of it to the other, you have to cross this old wooden railway bridge. And this guy had a house by the railway bridge, and he used to put on the big long coat. He was a typical flasher. And then he used to stand on the bridge and flash trains. Not a word of a lie.
Beautiful.
I like his commitment to tradition with the long coat.
Yeah.
And the train would go all the way to either Ladybank or Perth before it could stop. He's going to get away with that. Like, he's totally going to get away with that.
But he has flashed from his own house. It's like, problem. Where was he in that house?
Essentially, his back garden. But I mean, anyone going to Perth they're going to see far worse when they get there. So.
Very true.
The Perth train station, and the bus station in Perth specifically, it's a Stygian hell. It's absolutely horrible.
It is mental. Like, I remember going to Perth for the first time drinking when I was like probably like 18, and there was like tons of people just wasted on the streets. Like, yeah. not even like oh, guys out for a few pints. Just old boys, absolutely fucked. Now, I said to him, he's like, is it always like this? He's like, yeah. Holy shit. Perth, I thought Perth was quite nice.
Do you know what? Perth is the only city in Scotland where I've been threatened to be stabbed before.
Wow.
Yeah. That was good fun.
So, yeah, that happened to me and Dave here.
I've been threatened to be stabbed an awful lot.
In all sorts of places.
Yeah. Tommy, have you been threatened to be stabbed? Just want to bring you in.
No, but the only time I've ever been jumped was in Livingston, where I currently stay. So, you know, that says it all.
Were you getting jumped, or was it somebody lost because of all the roundabouts and they were so angry about all the roundabouts that they'd like gone into a fit of rage?
It was three wee Neds, actually. And it was years ago. It was before I actually moved here. I used to play in a band, and we were based in Edinburgh, but I would travel through every weekend for band practice. And I got off the bus to go to my mate's house, and I think they just didn't like the look of me, or they were just high on something. And, you know, I walked past them, you know, the usual chat, have you got a light? No, sorry, I don't smoke. Have you got the time? Well, I didn't. And they're like, ah, you do. And then I just started like walking up the road, and the next thing I know, I'm on the ground, and they're like raining punches down on me. But...
So why did you then move there, Tommy? Was that not a warning?
Wagamama is a powerful drug.
You know, the mind works in mysterious ways.
Have you gone back there to live out your revenge on them?
Yeah,
to find them, to track
vengeance.
Them down? Like,
you're only allowed one flasher in each town. You have to move somewhere else.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you
I'm plotting. Yeah, you know, I'm just... I've done my time.
Gone a bit Neeson. Are you wondering about Livingston with a cosh?
Oh, God. So, just going back to your Perth thing earlier. So, obviously, we talk a lot about how shit Kirkcaldy is. And down at our end of Fife, it's that whole Dunfermline-Kirkcaldy rivalry that goes on. So, up your way, is it people from Perth that you hate? Or do you have, like, a hostility towards maybe Cooper?
Tayport?
Octomachty? Or, like, what's...
Right. So, here's the thing. Like, Newborough, as you know, is just a wee place. And so, I went to high school at Bell Baxter in Cooper. So, you know, there's a catchment area for all the wee towns, you know, around it. And there's always been a Newborough and Machte thing. The towns just seem to dislike each other, you know. It's all the usual, like, small town patter, people from Machte, they wear gloves with six fingers. You know, that kind of thing. And, like, you know, what do people from Newborough and Wheat have in common? Oh, they're both in bread. you know, that kind of stuff. It's never like... It's just sort of like playful banter, but nothing too serious. But I don't know. Personally, I can't stand Cooper, but I think that's just because it reminds me of going to school and, you know...
I think Cooper thinks it's a lot better than it really is.
Cooper's got Fisher Donaldson. Prancy's around like it's fucking something.
I have to say,
Fisher and Donaldson, though. Mind you, when the last time we went up that way, Kutch, we stopped. Yeah. We were coming back from St Andrews and we stopped at Fisher
and
Donaldson.
And
Kutch said,
I had a life changing moment.
Yeah, Kutch like creamed his pants.
I had one of those donuts. I had one of those donuts for a whiskey fest, and I was so worried that its deliciousness was going to
ruin all the
whiskies.
Yeah. See, I left mines to the end, and then also had the one that Dave bought Charlotte.
Hope Charlotte isn't listening.
No, I remembered all about it. If it wasn't for the fact that I was being sick every
But yeah.
To me, Cooper's like a B movie version of Perth, which is saying something.
It's perfect.
It's sort of got a really old population as well, so it sort of does feel like it's teeming with zombies.
Yeah, but then because it's the only school for like that part of Fife, if you go out like a weekday lunchtime,
there's just schoolies everywhere,
full of all these kids that clearly dislike being there. And don't try and drive down that main street when the schools are out. Like, honestly, it's a may have run over children.
But I like the fact that you've come on, Tommy, and we've already preemptively got revenge on Cooper for you by every one of these guys throwing up there.
That's what it was.
Bombing on Cooper.
Yeah, it was just
bombing on
just
Cooper.
Because I was there. That's what did it. Nothing at all to do with 30 odd whiskeys.
Now the whiskey's nothing there. It's something in the air, I think, in Cooper.
And that was it.
That's it. That is. It's definitely something in the air, Tommy. You're spot on. There's something wrong with Cooper. No.
And nothing to do.
Can I just take this moment, actually, while we're recording, to apologise to everybody that was in the whiskey? I'm so sorry.
Dave's sworn off booze now. I was like 2 days, and I was like, I feel a bit sick. And then I had a dram. I had a beer. Oh, well, the other night I was out for a beer and it made me feel sick. So maybe I'm fucked as well. I just haven't accepted it yet.
It's broken me. I'm over 2 weeks without a drink, which doesn't sound like much.
Do you want a little token for your hand?
It's like, oh dear. 2 weeks clean, like.
Yeah. So what have we made fun of today? We've made fun of cannibalism, alcoholism, domestic violence. Cooper. We've had other terrible things we made fun of. Yeah.
Aye, right. So, you got any fights or anything for the island, Tommy? You got anything there?
I was thinking about fights. Have you guys? I assume you have seen it. The video is a few years old now of David Cameron trying to pronounce Kirkcaldy.
Yes.
No, I've right, seen so, that. Oh my god! I might have to go away and watch
this
now.
It's awful. So. Recently, what's his name? Gordon Ramsay was on TV and he absolutely butchered the pronunciation of Brechin. So I thought they could have a little game of pronounce the Scottish town name correctly, because I think that would be highly amusing. And if we can't do that, I'm sure like a good old punch up between the two would be just fine as well. But
I'd love to watch Gordon Ramsay stamp on David Cameron.
That's such a good fight.
I thought Gordon Ramsay was Scottish. Had an English accent. Yeah. He played for Rangers and stuff.
Yeah,
he
was born. He had a little Scottish.
Yeah. His mum's that Scottish.
He's a trialist.
He was a trialist for Rangers. And
so I'm thinking Brechin. Was it Brechin by any chance?
I don't know. I think I've probably butchered the pronunciation as well. You know, it's like one of those things like... I know people who pronounce their own hometown differently from like their dad and stuff like that. So
it's like Anstruther and Ainster I only discovered Strathaven or Straffy? It's Strava, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh really?
Straven or Strava, yeah. The locals pronounce it. It's like what the fuck?
Where's the place through in Glasgow as well? There's a place west coast that's
leave that to the trampled bat boys.
What was that?
Leave that to the trampled bat boys. That's their territory.
Yeah. This is like county lines drug gangs.
Okay. It's Milngay.
Mulgay.
Which is Mulngavy.
Yeah.
Mulgay.
You got Finnechty up in Murray as well. Finnechty, which is spelled Findochty.
Findochty, yeah.
What are you doing up there?
What I like about this, was it a fight? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I like about it is that they're both massive cunts.
If there's bloodshed, I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is as well, like David Cameron's got a really big meaty face, and Gordon Ramsay's got big meaty hands. So it'd just be like just basically meat against meat.
Are there pigs on the island?
Yeah, a meat to meat. David Cameron get this a bit excited. Yeah.
I could be like an episode of F Word. It's like face to face, meat bugs done.
So, do you know the wrestler Chris Jericho?
Yes.
These days, he looks a wee bit like Gordon Ramsay, so he could always...
Yes, he does so much!
Yeah, he's so Gordon Ramsay could always bring him in.
As like a body double or something like that.
It does the walls of Jericho with David Cameron.
I would pay a lot of money to see that.
You know what, that's low key his new gimmick. Like he's went through all his gimmicks in WWE and stuff like that. It's like, right, I need something new, I need something fresh, I'm gonna be Gordon Ramsay. Isn't fucking genius.
I need something new, I need something fresh, I'm gonna kick the fuck out of David Cameron.
I noticed the other day that Nick Clegg is starting to look like David Tatton's dad, Clive. He really is.
That's a niche reference for those that don't know our
friends. For most brutals of our friends.
I haven't met David Tatton's dad, Clive.
This is one of our friends, by the way.
Yeah, when you see, for people that listen and know, honestly, look at Nick Clegg. He's Clive, you know, looks like Clive.
Yeah. I can see that.
So does Chris Jericho also have a failed Glasgow restaurant as well? Like Gordon Ramsay. Apparently the city wasn't ready for him.
He's a man of many talents. He's in a band and he's got a podcast, so it wouldn't surprise me. Another thing I wanted to mention, though, is John Bon Jovi's looking quite similar to those two as well. So there's quite the buddy cop movie potential there. With those three,
they could
or
join
all three
together,
of them could
like,
just gang up and batter David Cameron.
Yeah,
David Cameron gave Loving Pigs a bad name, so
they could go on each other's shoulders like Transformers, become one mega whatever they are,
a mega Ramsey.
The worst Power Rangers ever.
Two giant bits of bread. You're an idiot sandwich.
Living on a prairie.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful.
Oh, that's good. That's
so you'd
good.
Have like fuck off and oh for fuck's sake all together in one place.
Oh man.
Do you not hate the like American version of it? Chef Ramsay, Chef Ramsay.
Yeah.
Fuck off, you absolute cretin.
what's amazing when you watch them is like when someone stands up to Gordon Ramsay, right? Yeah. Like, oh, here we go. How's it going to end? It doesn't end well for the person that stands
I like watching, you see, if you watch YouTube, I can't stand full episodes of any American program because they repeat themselves so much.
Yeah.
It goes on fucking forever. Mm-hmm. But on YouTube, you can just watch clips of Kitchen Nightmares of him eating the really shit food. Yeah. Basically, that's all you watch Kitchen. You don't care about anything else. But like, there's that first like 15 minutes when he goes into a restaurant and it's disgusting and dirty and they gave him shit food. You can just watch that on its own and it's much better.
Yeah. I remember seeing an episode once years ago and it was this Italian-American family and I'm pretty sure they had ties to the mob or something. And this one guy stood up to him and he called Gordon Ramsay a fucking blowjob. Now, I've never heard that as an insult, but he made it sound so mean. He also called him a sack of shit as well. And it just always stuck with me, but yeah, calling someone a blowjob, that was new to me. But
that's good swear. That's inventive. Yeah. Taking one thing and moving it across in an interesting new way. Love
yeah.
it.
Isn't a blowjob a good thing?
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
Well, it depends.
Yeah.
Every guy in the room like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
We told me to say it. Then.
One word. Peace.
Oh, man.
I just remember a story about someone at school with braces, actually. Oh. But I won't go into that. You can guess, listeners.
I think every school's got a story about someone with braces.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had a mate who used to, honestly, he had this weird sort of, like, not to kink shame or anything like that, but he used to fantasize about older women because he thought that the act of receiving said oral pleasures would be far better if they could take their falsers out.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Sitting there wanking to birds of a feather.
Blast of the summer wine.
Oh, no, no, Batty. That wasn't actually her name, it was just what she liked.
Oh, God.
I feel quite bad about that one. No, I don't.
Oh, dear. So, Tommy, You've got some interesting things on the go. You want to do a little bit of plugging?
I don't really like to talk about myself, but if you want me to, I will.
It's an opportunity for you.
So, I play music. At the moment, I've been recording some like metal stuff at home, black metal specifically. And I've been getting a lot of like good feedback on it. It's not my main thing. I normally like do sort of like acoustic indie stuff along the lines of like Frightened Rabbit and Death Cab for Cutie. Oh, okay. And stuff like that. I'm going to be playing a party at the Palace this year. And I'm recording an EP in the next couple of months. So I'll probably be playing a lot of gigs over summer and stuff like that. The metal thing, just got signed to a small independent label who are going to be releasing some vinyl and tapes, which is mind-blowing.
Awesome. Yeah, nice.
It's a very problematic genre. It's got a bit of a horrible history, but musically, you know what I mean? Like murders and church burning.
Yeah,
and
I was just about to, what's the guy's name? Who's the mean?
Varg,
thank you, yeah. It's just his face all the time, yeah.
Yeah, Varg's a cunt.
He's horrific. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's got a YouTube channel and it's the worst thing ever. He's a horrible human being. Yeah. He's very, very racist. He's just horrible. But, you know, if you dig a little deeper, there are really good bands with good values and stuff within the genre.
Yeah.
And I've always sort of been drawn to the musical side of it. It's the only kind of music where you sort of have to do a lot of homework on the bands and stuff.
Make sure they're not absolute Nazis.
There's a little bit of that in punk and hardcore things as well. Yeah.
No, it's interesting because, like, I mean, I'm into metal and indie and everything else, but you don't usually get people who perform both. You know what I mean? That's interesting.
Where can people find out about it, Tommy? Yeah. Is it your Twitter? Is that the best thing, or have you got a website? Or
I pretty much post everything on my personal Twitter, which is, I can't even remember what my username is.
I'll tell you the name.
It's Tommy Core, Tommy X Core, which there's a whole story behind that, but, you know, it's cheesy. But if people go there, they'll likely get all my info. I also have a book of poetry coming out this year as well.
Holy shit, Tommy. Wow.
I'm just like always like trying to create something, and that's why, you know, I've got like a couple of different musical projects. There's actually a third one as well.
Hell, Tommy, calm down.
I know. Just experimental electronic stuff, like a lot of like how it's sort of inspired by video game soundtracks and like film soundtracks and stuff. So I've got that coming out this year as well. I just like to be making stuff all the time, and I mainly do it for myself, but I've let people hear stuff and that they've encouraged me to sort of go public with it, so I might as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've had a listen to your Order of the Wolf stuff, and it's pretty banging for the genre. It's not my usual cup of tea, but yeah, enjoyed it. Also absolutely looking forward to a sweet tea coming my way soon.
Oh yeah, I'll get that sent out this week. I've actually had them sitting in the house for ages, but the thing is, like, I promised people that I would include an exclusive track, a download for an exclusive track, and that's been a holdup because I've been trying to meet other deadlines, because I've got a couple of songs that are coming out on compilations. There's actually a label, it's a Canadian guy, he lives in London, and it's like an anti-fascist black metal label.
Yes!
Yeah, like that.
Fucking yes!
So the compilation's called Woman, it's which is a acronym for Warriors of Metal Against Nazi Scum. Yes. No, wait. No, that's wrong.
It sounds good.
Yeah.
Warriors of Metal Against Nazis or something like that. But the whole idea is, you know, to sort of get people within the genre like who have good values and good like morals and stuff together and sort of like promote each other and stuff like that. So
that's really good, because there is a lot of that, like, result, like, and it's something that I listen to a lot, not so much these days, but still do listen to a lot of metal. But like you say, you do have to do your homework, so you listen to stuff and you're like, oh, wait a second.
Yeah.
And you like music, and then some people go look up, and there's still some stuff I listen to, which, you know, I probably don't like the acts at all anymore, but Yeah, I understand. Yeah, Jesus.
Like, with that Varg guy, he's just got so many, like, oh, but the riffs are good type of things, which is fair enough. He was a good musician, but that doesn't really, like, excuse the fact that he literally murdered someone and he was done for terrorism as well. Yeah. So
it's the way people idolize him, you know, it's really fucked up. Like, I don't listen to his stuff anymore, but I did like musically his stuff before, but it's like, yeah, he did have good riffs, but you can't, you know, do any of that because it's just ridiculous, you know. Someone's done all that. No, I agree. That's really good to hear that you're doing that.
So much stuff as well. Yeah. And if there's, like, one thing to say as well, it's like, take your inspiration from the Newborough Flasher. Yeah. I'd just be proud and get it out there.
That's a bad name I've ever heard one for another project. Yeah.
The Newborough Flasher. Let it be known that I'm not he.
Yeah, no, that's not how that's cause it's coming out, Tommy.
No, you're the Livingston Flasher. We went over this. You have to move. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for coming on and chatting with us, Tommy. It's been an absolute pleasure and nice to finally speak to you as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'll leave the power of editing to leave me sounding good, because I probably sound like a twatty cunt.
No more than any of us.
Yeah. Yeah. And Tommy, I work in Livingston, so I'll keep an eye out for you and your cock.
Well, to be honest, it's not special.
But the Mac's a winner.
Oh, good stuff. Well, as I say, thank you very much, and we're gonna let you go. We've got one more person to speak to as well. So,
brilliant. I look forward to listening, and keep up the great work, guys.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. Tommy. You too, man. See you later.
Right. Cheers. Bye.
Do this. Right. Let's have a wee look at the switchboard again. Who have we got? I wonder who we've got here. Let's see if we can.
Hello.
Is that William?
Oh, hello, lads.
Hello. You're on with Fife Club. Are you honoured?
The silence says it all.
No.
So,
how's it going?
Not too bad. How are you, William?
Grand. Trying to figure out how to turn the speaker on. Hold on. that'll have to do. No, I'm grand, aye.
Excellent.
No. Congratulations on your anniversary episode, lads.
Well, thanks very much. Yes. We've had a blast, and, you know, we absolutely thank you for listening as well. For how long have you been listening to us for?
Just over a year, since my pal John used to do the Face Punching Kevin Smith podcast, and he put me onto you, lads.
Yeah. That was a cracking podcast as well. Sadly, it's kind of slowed down a little bit, but
he's moved on to do a horror podcast with his mate Cammy now.
Yeah, which I've not managed to catch any of yet. My podcast list got ridiculous.
Me too. Yeah.
We have been asking everybody tonight so far, what has been your favourite episode? Can you think of one?
Well, I particularly like the ones where Penman goes off on a wild rant about Kirkcaldy.
You're the second person that's loved our slagging Kirkcaldy. Yeah.
I think everybody does. When it depends where you live. I mean, when I was a wee laddie, we always thought folk from Dingwall were gadgies. And then when you move to Pitlochry, you know, folk from Aberfeldy were absolute tinkers.
We were just talking to one of our other listeners, Tommy, and he's from Newborough, up in the north of Fife, and he was saying that it was kind of like that with Ochtermuchty as well, the Ochtermuchty and Cooper, they were the places that they had it.
Aye, but they've got a statue of Jimmy Shan, so they're doing
that
all right.
True, yeah.
I was trying to remember that when we were talking about it. I'm like, Ochtermuchty's got some kind of good statue, I couldn't remember who it was.
It's so. Jimmy.
Can I just say, I've spent a bit of time in Dingwall, and I can attest that Dingwall is a shithole on a level with Kirkcaldy. You're getting
total
there.
Full of gadgets.
It absolutely is. Like, we should pair them up in some kind of shit twinning town scenario.
And just Dundee can be where they meet.
They've got a statue of Desperate Dan, so you know.
Yeah. And Lemmings.
Yeah.
Desso, like, for those of you who met my dad when he was around, Dingwall is the only place I have ever been to where my dad wouldn't go in any of the pubs. Like, that's how shit, like, rough and horrible Dingwall was. Like, if my dad wouldn't go in the pubs.
I normally, when I got taken places to play the pipes by my mum and dad, you know, would hang around and see the town for a while, but nah, no Dingwall. Like. No. even the shipyards at Invergordon were a bit nicer.
nice view from there.
Right? So, are you still a piper today then?
No, as much now, no. Bit busy with work and, you know, having two crazy wee bairns. Mm. But no, I still play, you know, weddings and bar mitzvahs and funerals and stuff.
So, oh, nice.
Try and get them going now and again.
Do you really play bar mitzvahs, or is that for comic effect?
I haven't had one yet, but, you know, it's okay. Always on offer.
I was going to say, Max, you said that
catering for bar mitzvahs, weddings, and funerals as well.
So,
did I? Oh, okay. We could
offer a whole bar mitzvah package here. Like, don't know what else you need.
Get payment with the Holocaust jokes.
Oh, boy.
Not been any of them tonight, Dave.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, we'll cut that.
Probably have the pipes for a brisk as well.
Just one really long piercing note.
Oh, nice. Have you got anything for us? any fights, anything to bring to the island, anything like that?
Well, I reckon a cracking fight would be if you had Russell Crowe looking properly overweight and stony faced, leading a bunch of, you know, gladiators, all of the various different types you got with your pokey sticks and your nets and whatnot. And maybe Rhino thrown in for good measure up against a bunch of equally historically accurate 1980s caddies led by Rodney Dangerfield.
Who's Rodney Dangerfield and what's a caddy?
A caddy isn't a golf caddy.
Yeah.
What? I don't know who, and who's Dangerfield? What?
He's a kind of goggle-eyed late 70s, early 80s comedian who was... Oh, you'll have seen... If you've seen... what's that film with Woody Harrelson? Him and his... Julia, what's her name? Go all nuts and start killing folk.
Is he not Caddyshack as well?
Yeah. No, sorry. So I've said this several times on this
you've
podcast.
We didn't
get a video player until I was in my teens.
Did you ever watch
it was like 1997 before we got a video player, and I don't know anything prior to
that. A bit of a reference, but did you ever watch The Simpsons?
Uh-huh.
Have you ever seen that episode where Mr. Burns' son's in there?
No.
He's in The Simpsons a couple of times.
It's Caddyshack.
No, I've never seen Caddyshack.
I'm not even thinking in Caddyshack is not a gopher. They're trying to.
Oh,
going after the gopher.
Because we've got some history with gophers.
Oh my god, dark.
But these are gophers that can withstand like atomic blasts and Bill Murray.
Well, that's exactly it. And plus, I mean, it's withstood a lot of abuse from.
That's like Gordon the gopher's ass. Yeah,
exactly. So I mean, has Rodney Dangerfield got Gordon the gopher on his side as well?
And his family tree.
Oh,
I think he's using them as a golf club cover.
Oh, he'll love that. Yeah,
Schofield will love it. I don't know if God.
Well, yeah.
He's learned to smile.
I'm thinking.
This week on Swap Shop.
Who do we think?
I like that you did the sort of overweight. What's his name? Gladiator. Russell Crowe. So weight advantage isn't as big a factor.
Yeah.
It's good thinking.
I think he's going to be pissed and struggling to move.
Oh, he's in
Russell Crowe does get into tons of fights.
Yeah.
So the fight is Russell Crowe as overweight, angry, drunk Russell Crowe, not as actually in Gladiator when he was all buff and that.
Maximus.
No, he's let himself go, but he's still got the gladiators following him about.
Right, okay, so he's got the entourage and the accoutrements, but not the fitness.
Aye.
And Oliver Reed. Because he was head of the gladiators in Gladiator.
You sold me queer giraffes!
Yeah.
I should point out I've not seen Gladiator either.
You fucking what?
Fucking hell, man.
Yes. Jesus.
Your sister last night on the chat was like, oh, I've never watched Trainspotting. I'm watching it now. It's like, what the fuck, Lizzie?
I know. I have seen.
What was it with the whole fight? Oh, you didn't have a video
we
player
didn't
too.
Have a video player.
What I will say about the gladiators is their legs are pretty exposed. So if we go down the gopher route, they're quite small. They're going to be mainly attacking the legs. So that's a trouble spot already for.
I'm also
the gladiators.
Like golf clubs versus like pokey sticks. I don't know.
You can do a lot of damage with a golf
Yeah. One time when I was a kid, I broke my arm. This kid was next to me and his face was completely mangled. And I was like, what happened to you? And he was like, oh, I got hit in the head by my mate's golf club, like on a golf course. Like, holy shit. Oh. Yeah.
I got battered on the head with a shinty stick as I bit on my foot.
Oh. That's just shinty though, isn't it?
That is a very northern injury.
You know, didn't they wear helmets in those days?
To be fair, you guys are made of tougher stuff than we are.
Just daft. I reckon Rodney Dangerfield would be handing out the martinis and distracting them as well, playing a wee bit of Kenny Loggins.
Patter out as well. He'll be getting some good chat going. Like, he'll charm a few of those guys. Like, he'll get them on side.
Or just talk at them incessantly.
He'll roast them a bit, but then he'll be like, come on, we're mates. Come on, we're mates.
Well, that was I know. With the movie. You guys are okay. And then he'll tell them how much soup their hats can contain. And then somebody will twat them with a golf stick. Golf club.
Tug at his tie. And serve, yeah.
Hey, yeah. Your helmet is empty.
The movie Caddyshack was like quite famously filmed just with everybody on cocaine the whole week as well. So if they're like coke fueled running at you with a golf, I wouldn't fuck with someone that's like off their nut running at me with a driver. Like, I'd be gone.
Basically, coke-fueled
just a rampage.
Have I gone? Am I still audible?
You're back now.
I'm back now, right, okay. Shite. So yeah, like a coke-fueled golf I've forgotten what I'm saying.
Yes, good.
Twice, in fact.
I mean, yeah. You could do some serious that with teas as well.
Yeah.
I mean, teas, have you dug them into the skin?
Or get him on the toes.
Oh, under the toenails.
Yeah, under the toenails. Oh my God. Ah. William. Oh.
That's nasty.
Oh.
If you have like a golf club bag, you could wear that over your shoulder and you could bring them out like samurai swords, like shoong, a three wood ready to go thump right in someone's face and swap it for a putter.
Nine iron to death.
Yeah.
Finished off gently with a putter.
You could use like a 9 iron or something to take out an eye and then putt it into the hole.
Yeah. And don't forget you'll have golf balls in those bags, so you'll have people at range.
Oh, golf balls as well. Fuck. Oh,
course. Like, obviously they might not do much of like of the armor, but they'll cause some problems.
I'm going to call it. I think it is Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah, Dangerfield
crew. Yeah,
yeah.
I think they've got it.
See, the one thing that we've forgotten the whole way through this is that golf is shite. So
it's our national sport. It's our county sport.
I never played the game, but every summer at school, me and my best pal Lachlan McLaughlin would watch it at least 3 times.
That is a fantastic name. I think we all just
Lachlan McLaughlin. He's exactly what you'd expect a Lachlan McLaughlin to do.
It sounds like he should be on the front of a porridge box.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's a guy from Game of Thrones.
He's about 6'5", hairy, and plays the pipes.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah.
That is amazing. Are we going to call it for...
Yeah, I'm saying Dangerfield.
Dangerfield all the way.
Yeah. William, what are you saying?
I totally with that.
Yeah.
Best film ever.
Excellent.
So, or not, I can't make a call because this is 2 pop references that I can't participate in. Which happens quite a lot on this.
You know what, I've got to keep going. Funnily enough, those gladiators are walking into danger in a field. I got to keep going. I've done
and you wonder why you're a cunt, James.
I do it with a smile on my face.
So
you could have Russell Crowe walking through his field of wheat and then it'd be like the velociraptor scene in The Lost World. Yeah. It'd be gophers going for him.
And he bumps into Theresa May in the field of wheat. Stabs her and we get out of this mess.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
So just before we start to wrap things up here, I do have a quick question. You sent me a very detailed diagram about... a bat milking machine to take.
Oh yeah, I'm trying to get this idea off the ground. I was kind of bored and had a few beers in me.
It's quite outstanding. So my understanding is that basically post Brexit, we're obviously going to need to have milk, and your idea is to basically harness bats, train them to get milking machines attached to them and then walk around.
Aye, tiny wee ones.
Yeah. It's I worry about you.
How many bats are there? Can you actually, first of all, can you actually milk a bat?
Well, they're mammals, yeah, and they feed their young.
So they must produce milk.
Yeah,
okay, so they do produce
yeah,
milk.
Yeah.
How many bats are there in the UK?
I mean, is there enough to fill at least a bowl of milk?
There's a lot.
There's a lot of bats.
Do we know where they are?
There's some in the woods up next to my house.
Some
up there.
I know. Does your machine require us to catch them first?
Well, I reckon once you had a good dairy flock on the go, then you could breed your own.
We can selectively breed them so that because I'm presuming because they're quite
just
small,
like cows, we can milk them to have bigger bosoms.
Yeah, exactly.
Bigger bat
so
udders.
Why am I getting flashes of Jamie's plantation just now?
Because what I was going to say is actually, milk isn't necessarily going to be an issue after Brexit because most of our fresh milk supply comes from internally within the UK. Yeah. What might be an issue, though, is butter, cheese and yogurt, which often relies on particularly Irish milk. So that might be an issue. But where there is a real milk issue is on the island, because I don't think we've got a dairy herd on the island, have we?
Oh, that's a good point.
So
yeah,
it might come into its own on the island, or for cheese production if bat milk turns out to make good cheese.
I think it would make a lovely nutty cheese if they're moth-fed. And I think you would have to carry about like a lamp on a stick that would attract the moths. Because obviously if they're tethered to you with their milking harnesses, they can't go off and find food. So you need to attract the moths to you. And you just donder through a field at night.
Oh, yeah.
Letting them eat moths, yeah.
Yeah, that's where at the woods, they hang out like where the street lamps are on the path. Because all the moths just go to it and they're just there eating off the moths and we love it.
I think we should explore it further.
Get
a patent on it, do you reckon?
Well, we can apply for it. There's a government fund called the Knowledge Innovation Transfer Fund, which is for developing food and farming projects.
Very good.
Oh, send us a link.
Yeah, I think you can get like upwards of £500,000 for this fund. I think we could go a long way to developing.
And you could. You could go up the Murray Firth and get dolphin cheese.
Oh. Holy shit. Dolphin cheese sounds like something else. I don't,
That would take a bit of work, though. I mean, we got told on our honeymoon in Mexico not to touch the dolphin's nipples.
Wait, have dolphins got nipples?
They're mammals.
Consent is important.
I've never swam with dolphins or touched dolphins' nipples before. What sort of size do dolphins?
Yeah.
Well, they're hidden away for like hydrodynamics in little nipple slits.
So they don't catch in the water.
And snag them on something, you know.
Can you imagine if they got hard? Jesus Christ.
Well, do you know that a dolphin's penis is prehensile? It's like a tail, so they can grab onto things.
I did just
Google the word dolphin nipples, and I'm just showing the guys a picture which handily shows you where the nipples on a dolphin are. I'm just going to have a look and see. So it's under the belly.
Where's that story? I don't know if that story was true. It was always a story of a woman having sex with a dolphin and it just killed her.
Yeah.
So they can like wrap her cocks way and just tore her apart.
There was a woman that had a relationship with a dolphin.
Uh-huh. That sounds like tentacle porn.
It does. It really does.
No, there was like...
Sort of a bit fishy about that, like...
I mean, how do you... Like, logistically, how do you even make that happen? That's a lot of work and a lot of effort to get yourself killed by a dolphin.
I don't know if it's true. I just want to say that. Yeah. It's just
There was a research project in the 1960s in like Jamaica or somewhere like that, but it was like American scientists. And they like built a house that was like part water. So it was like, excuse me, it was humans and dolphins living together. And it was a long-term project to study how humans and dolphins interacted. And I think it lost its funding halfway through. But the main women involved had got like romantically involved with the dolphin. I was like, no, I'm not like giving this up. I'm going to live here.
Jesus.
And I think she lived there like for like the next 20 years or something, like shared ice with this dolphin. And the rumor was that she had sexual relations with the dolphin. But I don't know if that's entirely true or not.
So if you want to get strangled while having sex, I mean, there's cupboards and belts for that. You don't need to swim in the sea with dolphins.
The most dangerous wag.
R.I.P. David Carradine.
Oh
my God. All right. I was just going to say, I'm pretty sure dolphins are like one of the only, or one of the few animals that have sex for pleasure as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't.
Neither does the other person with you, Dave.
That's what I meant, I think.
It's just always a difficult wank.
Can I get that t-shirt made?
Just your face.
It'd be awful.
Oh dear. Well, thank you very much for giving us some of your time there, William. I know it was a bit of a task, but we absolutely appreciate it, and sharing your fight and some of your bat milking ideas with us.
I look forward to seeing Dragon's Den, man. It's going to be an entertaining one.
No worries, lads.
Yeah, and thank you for joining us on our 100th episode as well.
Thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Cheers.
And hope you keep enjoying the show for what it is.
Ah, will do. All right, well, thanks very much, guys.
No problem. Cheers. Cheers. Thank you.
See you later. Bye. Thanks, mate.
Wow, right. Cool. So there we go.
We've met some wonderful people today.
Yeah, we
wonderful
have.
Cunts.
I'm actually quite heartened by the fact we have actual listeners.
Yeah, listeners.
Two of them. Only
two of the callers may have been people who've known us for a long time.
But they are listeners.
But they listen as well. But and then two genuine listeners that we've never met before, which is lovely to speak to.
Exactly.
Yeah. And we never heard from them again.
Sue's killed them.
Sue's knocked on the She had that bat milking idea. She needs to make it.
Are we going to have more listeners on in the future?
I think we'll do this in the future.
And how should they get in touch with us if we want to have more listeners in the future?
Well, they can go on our website at www.fiveclub.co.uk or email Ken at fiveclub.co.uk, Twitter at fiveclub, Facebook.com/fiveclubpod or at fiveclubpod, Twitter at fiveclub. I've already said that.
Yeah.
Just fucking Google it.
Well. Again, thank you very much, people. Thank you very much, people, for joining us today. It's been fun. We've had all of us here for the first time, or maybe only second time.
Oh, we should give Lizzie a shout-out, though.
Yeah, and Lizzie tried to get through to us. Due to technical difficulties.
She's been flashing people on Skype. Just calling random people.
Chat roulette by mistake.
Oh, God.
Could you imagine Fife Club doing chat roulette?
That does chat roulette still exist?
I wonder if it does.
I don't
Can we do an episode of that? All of us.
No. So, yeah, again, like I say, thank you very much. And I suppose it brings me to that time of the night where I have to ask somebody, just give me a
I'll
model.
Do it.
The first rule of Fife Club is always talk about Fife Club. The second rule of Fife Club is talk with Fife Club, like we did today.
That's very heartfelt. Like
anybody got something else?
The 100th rule of Fife Club is fuck James.
That'll do. Good night.
Good night.
Sorry, James. I couldn't. 100 moment was silence for everyone who's listened to Fife Club in the past 100 episodes.
Right, let's do it. Hello, Fife fans. Welcome back to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club, where a couple of friends talk about anything and everything, putting their world to rights. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Talk about Fife Club.
James had to say it.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
It's the law now.
Yeah, it's going for it.
And I've got to be happy and cheery because all you are miserable bastards.
It's because you're here, man.
Oh. So, on that, we are episode 100 this week, guys.
Woo!
And we've got a full house.
Yay!
An absolute full house.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're all a bunch of cards, aren't we? I'll just see myself.
We've got everybody. So I think I'll just go around. Hello. Hello. Yay! Right. I'm going to start that right from the fucking beginning because I don't know what happened.
Oh, but there. I can't call James a cunt twice.
Right.
I can't.
Surely there's a 48 second rule.
Right. Mind that time okay. Until it used. Oh, we'll come back to that. Right.
Darling. Live technology.
You need to go for a quick pee. Go for a quick pee, and then we'll finish off with Suze.
Excuse me? I'm not into that. I'm not sure my waterproof can handle that much.
No, halfway, Mark. Halfway. Push.
Push forward.
It's like a moth at a light bulb.
Right, well, we get back into
that.
That
wouldn't surprise me.
Okay. Sorry, yeah, guys. Let's get back to it.
I'm much more comfortable now.
Feeling better.
Yeah.
I have to say, although we've missed you, Mark, we do tend to get through the podcast quicker because we don't have to have four pee breaks.
Hey baby, you're a boozer calling to sell it at scrambled eggs.
Yeah, I can't get Ross off me.
Maybe I seem a bit confused. Well, baby.
Ross.
I got you, baby. But I don't know
Ross,
what to do
try
with those scratches.
Unmuting yourself as well.
He's calling again.
Riveting conversation, Walker. Love
it. Like, boy. I hope he's just sat there like this.
Okay, conversation in the meantime. Did you guys ever radio phone in when you were younger?
Nope.
Not when I was younger.
No?
I did competitions.
Yeah. Did you? Yeah. Do you remember? Did anyone ever listen to Scotty McClue?
Scott FM.
I remember phoning Scott up FM. Getting to stay up late, and because it was on after 10 o'clock at night, it was quite late. We used to listen to it in bed and with our little radio in the bedrooms, and I remember phoning up and having nothing to say at all, and him being really rude to me. I was like a young kid. I just wanted to be like, hi Scotty, I listen to you all the time. And he's like, oh, what are you calling in for? I was just like, he's like, well, you should have thought what you were going to say before you phoned in. And I was really upset.
So if you're listening, Scotty McClue, you're a bastard. We will absolutely stab you.
Who's phoning who now?
Yeah.
I'd completely forgotten about Scotty McClue.
Scotty McClue, yeah. Quality 90s Scottish broadcasting.
I really liked the phone-in games used to get, where it was like a game where you'd play it by pushing buttons on your phone.
Oh, I don't remember that.
It was like on Saturday morning TV, so it was like a call-in, and it was like a troll or something. Yeah, and you'd push buttons so it would like go left or go right, and it was like running, and there was a boulder after it or something.
Did you ever do that?
No, we did get, Shona did get on for something on Going Live.
Really?
I think it was the same episode like Pete Sampras was on or something. But stuck in my, I'm sure Sampras was on it, but yeah.
I remember that because it was, they had it on Live and Kicking as well. It was like a rabbit chasing carrots.
Yeah, it's that sort of thing.
Running away from,
I think it was Live and Kicking.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know if it would be Going Live or Live and Kicking. With changeover.
I think we're sort of like talking about like, you know,
was that Ross?
Oh, hello.